Can the Lord depend on you? We are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Can the Lord depend on you? That's a real challenge to us this morning, but a real opportunity. Can the Lord depend on you? This morning, I want to preach a message about the gospel according to Jesus. That shouldn't be hard to understand, but it is. The gospel according to Jesus. I know sometimes it seems like we talk about this a lot, but it is the gospel according to Jesus. And we've been taught so many things that are contrary to the gospel in the name of Jesus, that it's something that we need to continually seek to understand better and better, not only for ourselves, so that we might be able to explain it to others when we take the gospel of Jesus. Sometimes it seems, like I said, a little repetitious, but when you get out and you start talking to someone and you can't remember, you wish you would have been a little more repetitious in learning the gospel of Jesus. It's not something that we were talking this morning, or that some of these gospels, you've got to be explained from front to back what they mean before you can understand them. We were talking about Calvinism in particular. You don't pick up the Bible and just learn about Calvinism. You've got to learn a whole system of theology before you can understand Calvinism or the modern gospel. You've got to be able to understand the book of Romans. You've got to understand Ephesians. You've got to understand all kinds of different things. You've got to understand what condition you're supposed to be in. And you've got to understand God's, who God is, and be able to explain that. You've got to be able to understand how man fell in order to be saved. You have to be taught all of those theologies. And I would be with Paul and say that all is just a big pile of dung. To have to understand all of those things before you can be saved. To have to be explained by a theologian or a doctor or a super teacher of the Bible before you can be saved. It's not the gospel of Jesus at all. It's a gospel created by man. There's multitudes of people preaching it and teaching it, and it's wrong. People are deceived by it and have been for generations, and it's wrong. And I want to show you. You say, well, what do you mean? You don't believe in Paul? You don't believe what Paul taught? You don't believe the book of Romans? You don't believe what Paul wrote is the Bible? Yes, we do. We sure do. We do better than most evangelicals. They don't listen to Paul. They just take their gospel from him. Or from his writings, twisted. Whenever they tell how much They put their faith in his teachings, but then do they wear a covering? No, most of them. Do they dress modestly? No. Do they avoid wearing silver and gold and expensive apparel? No. They've got earrings and rings on their fingers and all kinds of things. They're not listening to what Paul said. They're taking some of his so-called theology and trying to put it into practice, but they don't hear him. They don't hear him. They don't listen to him. So as we began this morning, I don't want to take anything away from Paul. He was a mighty man of God. But there's been a lot of mighty men of God. But there's one name under heaven and earth that men are saved by. And that's the name of Jesus. And it's not just because we call on his name, it's because we hear him. We believe him. We trust him. Question I want to ask this morning is, could we be saved by Jesus' words alone? If we had nothing but the book of Matthew, or the book of Mark, or the book of Luke, could a person take just one book of the gospel of Christ and be saved or not? Should that be a hard question to answer? Is the gospel become so difficult that we have to have all of those other things, all of those other books? And I'm not taking away from them. They're good and they're right and they ought to be followed, like we teach. But Paul didn't come into this world and die for us to set us free from Satan's bondage. Neither did Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we can't be saved by listening to his teachings, there's no hope for us. If we can't be saved by trusting in what he's told us, there's no hope for us. No amount of understanding or explaining will save us. Yet, as soon as you start talking about hearing Jesus and obeying Jesus, the evangelicals run right quick to Romans. Well, what about Romans? Well, what about Ephesians? And I say, well, what about what Jesus said? People want to give him lip service and talk about all about him. But why don't we listen to him once? That's what he said it took to be saved. It's like they think we just believe in him. We don't have to listen to him. We just believe in him. We don't have to listen to him. We don't have to hear him. We don't have to obey him. But boy, we believe in him. Because Romans said. Or because Galatians say so. Well, why don't we just go to Jesus? Again, I say, I'm not taking away one bit from what they said, from what Romans or what Galatians or what Ephesians said or what Paul said. I want to hear him too. But I want to hear him after I hear Jesus. Because if we start listening to Paul or any other man, and we try to see Jesus through their eyes, it's not going to be anything like seeing Jesus himself or hearing Jesus and then being able to understand what they're trying to tell us. I want to just encourage us this morning not to be deceived by the strong arguments. It seems like we're overwhelmed. There's a battle raging all around us, and it's an uphill battle. And it's not just in a few neglected or few selected circles. What amazes me, and I may have mentioned it the other day, but being out on the street, one night you'll come up and there'll be an Assemblies of God and he'll be telling us, oh, you need to listen to Romans and what it says. I've got a gospel here. You need to hear it. And they start trying to explain what Romans says about how to be saved. Well, Jesus didn't point to Romans when he talked about how to be saved. He said, hear my words. The next night you'll be out there and a Baptist will come up and say, well, what about Romans? The next weekend you'll be out there, there'll be a Methodist come up and he'll say, what about Romans? Then the next week, a Seventh-day Adventist will come up and say, well, what about Romans? They just had a meeting in Peru. A bunch of the Mennonites that were there, and some of them even traveled quite a ways to have a meeting about this gospel that we're teaching. A man from Canada was there. A man from Costa Rica. There were people from all over there. About Peru, and the main topic of their discussion was this new gospel that we're supposedly teaching without Romans. They talked to Brian Gray for several hours the other morning about Romans. The Roman road to salvation. Brian kept trying to bring it up. Well, what about Jesus and what he said about it? And after a while, he just told them, he said, listen, you know, the message you're trying to tell me is the same one that every other evangelical church in the world that we wind up in confrontation with, it's nothing more than what you're trying to teach right now. There's no difference. They even went so far. They said, well, you got to be saved first before you can understand. That's the first thing you got to do is receive Jesus into your heart. So he asked him, what do you do to receive Jesus into your heart? And they said, well, you got to repent. and you got to confess your sins, and you got to do all this, and you got to do all these other religious things. And the first thought that came to my mind is, well, wait a minute, I thought the first step you had before you could do any of those things was have Jesus in your heart. They began to explain repentance. It was just the evangelical version of it. Well, you feel sorry for your sin. That's not repentance. Repentance is a change of lordship. And he tried to explain that to them. And they said, we do not accept that. That's in a Mennonite circle of conservative Mennonites. No, we won't accept that you have to change lords before you can be saved. That is the most deceitful thing. That's the foundation. The foundation. Let's just take Jesus' words. Let's go back to Jesus. See what he said about that. Why do you call me Lord and don't do the things that I say? Why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say? The gospel, according to Jesus, or is it some other gospel? If we can't be saved by hearing Jesus' words, there is no salvation. He is the cornerstone. If we don't build on him, we're building on something false. Paul, in his own words, said, follow me. Follow my gospel. No. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. He put Christ first in it. Listen to Christ. And if I'm following Christ, then listen to me. But if I'm not following Christ, or another angel, or anyone else comes teaching anything else, have nothing to do with them. You'll find that in Galatians. Two places, just Mark chapter 10, verse 17. I didn't get a lot of time to spend. This message has been on my mind, but I don't get a lot of time just to study for messages. Don't. So there's could be others. Matthew or St. Mark chapter 10. Verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Here is the question we're trying to find an answer for when we talk about salvation. And here's a man that came running to Jesus. And he kneeled down to him. And he asked him, good master, what? Trying to say, aha, we got you. You didn't say the right words. So I avoid on purpose trying to tell them what they want to hear. But they say, well, what do you do to go to heaven? About the best thing I can do is say, well, let's go see what Jesus said about it. Here's a man, a perfect example. Man comes running to Jesus. And he kneels down and says, what must I do to be saved? And I tell this, sometimes I say, what would happen in your church if after the preacher preached and he gave an invitation and some rich man, and everyone knew who he was, a leader in the community, very wealthy man, came running up to the altar, and he fell down on his knees and said, what do I do to be saved? What would you tell him? Well, let's get out your Bible here. Let me see. We'll go to Romans here. Do you believe you're lost? Do you believe you're lost? It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you don't believe you're lost, you're calling God a liar. Do you believe you're lost? Yeah. That's why I wanted to know about what I needed to do to be saved. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, okay. Why don't you ask Jesus into your heart? Just ask him to come into your heart. Here, say this little prayer. Father, I've sinned against you. And I know that Jesus died for me, and I want him to come into my heart and be my Savior. Amen. All right, now when do you want to join the church and when do you want to be baptized? Hallelujah. Another name's written down in glory. Is that what you want me to tell you? Well, let's see what Jesus said. Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? There is none good that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. If you'd tell somebody you hadn't done any of those things, you know what they'd say to you? You're a liar, all have sinned. This man said he didn't do any of those things. And Jesus said unto him, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I said and observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Beholding him, loved him. He didn't judge him. He loved him. How did he show his love to him? One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up thy cross and follow me. What did this man have to do to be saved? He had to get what was out or in the way that was separating him from Jesus, separating him from allowing Christ to be the Lord of his life, out of the way. And then take up his cross and follow Jesus. To the evangelical church, that message is heresy. Whenever you tell someone, when they ask you, well, what do you have to do to be saved? You say, you follow Jesus. They'll give you a deer in the headlights look and then get mad and say, what about Romans? Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He wasn't even willing to do the first part of it. He wasn't willing to remove that which was standing between him and God so that he could follow Jesus. Matthew chapter 4. The very first message that Jesus preached. As soon as he came out of the desert, verse 17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The message Jesus taught was repent. Get the idols out of your heart. Get the rebellion out of your heart. Repent. Turn from you being the Lord. Turn from you being selfish. Turn from yourself and follow Jesus. Allow him to be the Lord of your life. No one is going to be saved unless Jesus is their Lord. You cannot have two masters. No man can serve two masters. Those are Jesus' words. No man can have two masters. You'll either love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. Well, maybe we just don't understand. The world lies in darkness and they just don't understand. That's why we're to shine light to this world. That we're to teach what Jesus taught. We're in the Bible study this morning, the children's class. Eli heard about his sons being killed in battle. I'm Sure, that hurt him. Then the next message came and said, the ark of God has been taken. And at that message, he fell off his stool and broke his neck and died. One of his daughter-in-laws was given birth, and she heard the message and died. But the last thing she did was named her child Ichabod. Ichabod, the glory is departed. These were people who had saw the glory, and now it was gone. You know the sad thing about it. This is what happens. I just heard that this week somewhere, talking about this country, this America, and how it's changed, and how it's changing fast. And it's sad to see the values and the morals that at least it had for a while just going out the window. And it grieves me. And I feel that Ichabod, the glory is departing, even what it had, what little it had. It's changing. It's different than what it was when I was little. And someone mentioned that one of these people that are pushing for this change and this immorality said that, you know, you're worried about your children. Don't worry about them. They didn't know any better. They'll be perfectly happy in a socialistic or communistic society. You know what? They were right. They'll be perfectly happy living in a world where queers, adultery, fornication, pornography, drunkenness, dope, tattoos, ear piercings and body piercings are just normal. They'll just grow up happy in that society. They're not grieved by it. Ichabod. They'll never know any difference. They'll be content with what they've got. It's what's happened to the gospel. Ichabod. We don't know what Jesus taught. We don't know the glory of what it is to follow Jesus and to hear Him and obey Him. We're content just to be saved and go along with the rest of the world. We don't know any better. We don't know any better than, well, we're all sinners. I'm going to sin every day. I'm just going to live in sin. They don't know any better. Ichabod. Ichabod. The glory's departed. They've never seen the glory, so they don't even look for it. The Spirit of the Lord is leaving fast. How long has it been since you've seen someone concerned about sin in their life? Worldly lust, living godly, righteously and soberly in this world, departing from evil. Don't happen much. People don't expect it much. Ichabod. The glory is departed. They've never seen it. They don't know any better. They'll just go right along in it and be happy with it. Put a smile on your face. Jesus loves you. Ichabod. They don't know any better. And woe be to you if you try to teach them anything. You try to lift them up above the Ichabod standard into the standards of glory. You try to teach them what it means to follow Jesus. And all they know is Ichabod. Got a whole list of scriptures here. Jesus said about following him, take up your cross. Whosoever will not take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you. Luke 9:23-26. Luke 8:21. Hear those that hear the word of God and do it. Luke 12:5. Don't fear him who can take away your body, but fear him who's able to cast both body and soul into hell. You want to talk about salvation? Jesus is teaching us those things. You're not going to get it out of a 5-minute instructions. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Strive to enter in. Try to learn what Jesus taught. Luke 6:40. Let's just turn to that one. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Where is a striving to be and to be like Jesus and to follow him? I don't know how many times the Bible says to follow him. Matthew 25:46. These are about the ones who, the sheep and the goats, and how the sheep were following and visiting and giving and doing what they were supposed to do. And they said, Lord, when did we see you? Those are the teachings of Jesus. What's that got to do with Romans and how you can understand it? My question. Why don't we just listen to Jesus for a while? Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Talking about the goats who didn't do those things. Didn't do them. But the righteous into eternal life. Who's going to get eternal life? The righteous. Will have eternal life. They're the only ones that's promised eternal life. Yeah, we've all sinned. But when you hear the gospel, you turn from those things to following the Lord. And it's the righteous that'll inherit eternal life, not the self-righteous. Not those who establish their own form of righteousness, but those who are following Jesus. Matthew 24, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Luke chapter 10. Another. Verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? There's that question again. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what's written in the law? How readest thou? That'd be a good question. How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, and he answered and said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Why can't that be the answer to what shall I do to have eternal life? It's what Jesus said. Why isn't that good enough? Because we don't believe it. We don't believe Jesus. We've got to have theology. We've got to have understanding. We've got to keep a little of our sin. Why don't we just believe Jesus about salvation? He was just God come down in the flesh to teach salvation to us. That's all. The reason we don't is because we don't believe Him. He has the words of eternal life. I was standing on the street Friday night up in Springfield. Had a message of some of the teachings of Jesus on the sign. A man pulled up there, right in the middle of the intersection, stopped his car, jumped out and ran out in front of the car and said, you've got nothing but condemnation on your sign. And I said, these are the glorious words of Jesus Christ. There's life in them. It's not condemnation, it's life. If it condemns you, it's because you don't believe it. But if you believe it, there's life in it. Gospel according to Jesus. His words have eternal life. Luke chapter 12, it says, he that rejecteth me, I'm not sure on this verse here. I've got you can look up John 12, 44. Thank you. Verse 12, 48, or chapter 12, verse 44, verse 44, and Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into this world, and whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. Why are the words condemnation? Because those words are judging people. Why do people come up and say, "You're not the judge"? Because the words of Christ are judging people. Because they don't believe. They simply don't believe. They don't believe the gospel according to Jesus. They're following another one. May the Lord add his blessings on his words. Father, we come before you this morning. We just want to thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Help us, Lord, to do your will. Thank you for your Spirit that guides us and gives us wisdom, gives us truth. We just ask that you'd help us to be faithful to our Lord and his words. In Jesus' name, amen.